back at the very beginning of September, and I told you guys about a story. Many of you have been here, but maybe some of you missed it. It was a story about a rope, and a practice, actually, that takes place, at least it used to, I don't know for sure if it still does, but takes place in many farms in kind of the Midwest U.S. and kind of the prairies of Canada. See, what the farmers would do is they'd take a rope like this, and in the wintertime, they would go and they would tie one end of the rope onto, like, the porch of their house. They tie it on like this, so it's good and tight, and then they'd run the other end of the rope all the way out to their barn. And so they take the rope out to the barn. The reason they would do this is because in those particular areas, in the wintertime, there could be these snow squalls that would just come in so quickly and so ferociously to the point where a farmer could walk out to from his house to the barn, and everything's clear. Everything is, it's a beautiful winter day. They do their chores, and by the time they're finished their chores and start to head back in, this whiteout snow squall has set in. And these farmers would begin to try and make the walk just a couple hundred feet from their barn back to their house. And the whiteout was so blinding that it's like they couldn't even see their own hand in front of their face. And there are stories, in fact, of farmers getting lost in their own backyards, walking around in circles so disoriented from the snowstorms that they couldn't even find their way back to their house, and in fact even freezing to death in their own backyards. In fact, this isn't just like a faraway thing either. I think it was 9 years ago, it's a little before my time of getting to the area, but about 9 years ago, some of you have been here for a long time, will remember that there was a massive snowstorm that descended upon this area. And in fact, actually not too far from here, in just outside Ridgetown, they suspect this basically very thing happened. There was a man who was found out in a field, frozen to death, tragically, about the distance from where I'm standing to the welcome center, which is in the lobby, from his car. And best they can surmise, he, in the middle of this snowstorm, went out and couldn't find his way back to his own car and died in the field. And the point of the rope is that when you come out of the barn, you have a rope, and so even if the snowstorm is blinding you, you have a rope that you can take hold of, and it will walk you back home. It will get you where you need to go safely. And over these last 2.5 months, we have been in this series called Our Path. I know some of you are here as guests today, and you're jumping in at the very tail end. Others have kind of popped in along the way. Others of us have been along the whole kind of journey. What we want to do today as we finish off this series is we're going to kind of wrap this time up. And we've been in this series called Our Path, looking at who are we as a church? Where has God placed us? Where is he calling us to go into the future? Praise the Lord, this year actually marks 75-year anniversary of our church, Bethel Baptist Church. We praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for a rich history of many exciting things that God has done in the past. But as a leadership team, as our elders and our staff, we really believe that our best days are not behind us. And so what does this look like for us into the future to keep trusting God to be impacting our community and our lives and our world? And so this series has really been about unpacking that, about getting us all on the same page, about us having a common sense of understanding and unity and rallying together, a common language that we can all be united in, and to help each one of us, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, and whether, frankly, this is your very first time with us here this morning, or whether you've been a longtime veteran of Bethel, what is the step that is next the Lord might have for you in your spiritual journey? Today, I want to wrap us up with basically doing three things. First, we're going to begin by looking at our values as a church. We're going to finish off this series through our path, looking at our values as a church. Then I'm going to take some time to kind of wrap this all up, kind of hopefully put a bow on this whole series, these last 2.5 months that we've been going through. And then I want to finish off with that question for each one of us. If you call Bethel home or wherever you might be at on your spiritual journey, what is the next step for you to take to be growing in your spiritual journey? Okay? And so we're going to start out by looking at our values. We have been through this series, walking through. This is kind of a synthesis right in front of you there within pretty close reach. You'll find a sheet that looks like this. It says right at the top who we are. And this is what we've been unpacking through our whole series. And we're going to zero in on that bottom section there of our values just at the start of our time today. It says that our values are the foundational principles that impact everything we do. They are like the thread that is woven through all of the fabric of who we are. They are the foundational principles, the things that we come back to in everything that we do. And you'll notice there that there's five of them. The same five that are up on the wall right over there. We've got them up every single week as you walk into this room to be reminded of what are the foundational principles that guide everything we do. When you walk in the lobby there, right across from the Welcome Center on the wall is a similar set of five of those, the same five there. Our five are we, as our foundational values, are about loving deeply and praying relentlessly, becoming like Jesus, serving sacrificially, and multiplying spiritually. Those are our five values, and I want to walk through these five values here. The first one, loving deeply. Loving deeply begins with the fact that you and I have been recipients of God's love. You and I have been recipients of God's love. God, the creator of the universe, before we could do anything to earn it or deserve it, sent his son Jesus to lay down his life for us. God extends first his hand of love, the ultimate act of love, and then out of the overflow of the experience of God's love for us, it bursts forth in vertical and horizontal love. This is exactly what Jesus says right here in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus tells these teachers and Pharisees that he's talking to, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Love God with your everything, with everything that you are, your heart, your soul, your mind, and not just part of your heart, not just part of your soul, not just part of your mind, but all of it. Love the Lord your God. This is the first and the greatest commandment. If there is one thing above all, the greatest thing you and I are to do with our lives, it is to love God all out. And then the second greatest commandment, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. As recipients of the love of God, love God and love others. Love deeply. Love deeply. The second of our values here is that we are to pray relentlessly. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've put your faith in Jesus, you have been therefore adopted into God's family. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've been adopted into God's family, which means you are in relationship with God. And you can talk to God and listen to God at any point. You have the sweetest of intimacy with the creator of the universe. And prayer, at its most basic, is just talking to God. It's having a conversation with God. When you think of prayer, don't think about some grand pontificating speech up on stage. You have to have all the proper language and then these and the nows and sound like you've got it all together. No, that prayer at its most basic level is just talking to God. You've been, if you're a follower of Jesus, invited into this relationship, brought into this relationship. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you can come into relationship with God and you can talk to God. This is why in Colossians chapter 4 gives a simple instruction, but so beautiful. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Commit yourself earnestly. Don't give up. Never stop. Relentlessly be a man or woman of prayer. The third value we've got here is to become like Jesus, becoming like Jesus. I love how 2 Corinthians chapter 3 puts it here. We who with unveiled faces, that is, with nothing hindering us from seeing God because God in his grace sent his Son and calls us out of darkness and causes us to be born again to a new and living hope through Jesus Christ when we put our faith in him. Because everything that blocks us from God has been taken away, and with unveiled faces we see Jesus, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. As you love Jesus and look to Jesus and try and live for Jesus, you start to look like Jesus and sound like Jesus and act like Jesus in an ever-increasing fashion, becoming more and more and more like Jesus. The goal of Christianity is not just to get more head knowledge. The goal of Christianity is not just to check off your religious duty box. Went to church, put money in the offering plate, said my prayers today. That's not the goal of Christianity is to become like Jesus. To look and sound and listen and act like Jesus. And as we look at him and spend more time with him and listen to him and follow him and behold him with nothing holding us back because of God's grace, we become more like Jesus. Our fourth value is sacrificially serving. We, just like loving deeply, have been served. It says it so beautifully here in this Philippians passage that our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who became the ultimate servant. He entered into our broken world, took on broken flesh, was accused falsely of things he'd never done, lived a perfect life, was arrested, sentenced, brutally tortured, and executed, all so that you and I can live. He did it in our place. He was obedient as a servant, even to the point of death, it says there. And so we are to have the attitude of a servant because we have been served. We are to serve God, and we are to serve others. Finally, fifthly, a text that we've come back to, if you've been along this journey with us each week, you've seen us come back to this numerous times, the final words of Jesus to his disciples at the end of his life, and he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. We're about multiplying spiritually because Jesus says, you've been given this incredible news, this incredible message, this incredible hope, don't keep it to yourself. Don't just hang on to yourself. Go and tell everyone on the highways and the byways and as far as you can possibly imagine. There's hope in Jesus. Multiply your faith. These are our five core values. These are the five foundational principles that weave their way through everything we do and are about. And if you think about those five values right there, if you step back and just kind of look at all of them, really what you see in that description of those five values, what you see there captured is Jesus. You see a description of Jesus there amongst those five things. Jesus is the one who perfectly loved. Is he not? You think about even here how it says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we even know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. How do you even know what love is? It's because Jesus showed us what love is, and he laid down his life for us. Our whole understanding about what love is, and Jesus perfectly loved God. He obeyed him in every single way. He followed him every step of his life. He was completely devoted to loving God in all ways, and he loved us by laying down his life. If you've ever wondered, and who of us haven't, does God really love me? How could God really love me? At some point in our lives, I think all of us have wrestled with that question. Do you know how you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus loves you? He died for you. You can have absolute confidence of the love of God because Jesus laid down his life for you. Jesus perfectly lived out loving deeply. He perfectly lived out. He's the model of praying relentlessly. Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus was so devoted to communing with his Father and talking to God and always being connected to God to the point where his disciples were around him and they're just like, Jesus, can you just teach us how to pray like you pray? He would have these moments where all these crowds would start to come around him and get so excited about all the things he's doing, all the miracles that they're seeing Jesus do. And you think, man, this is the moment where it's finally going to like hit a cusp. And then you know what Jesus would do? He'd like take off into the wilderness and he'd like hide. And you're like, Jesus, what are you doing? Praying. I'm getting away to meet with my Father. Numerous occasions we read in the scriptures about how Jesus actually would go away for entire nights and stay up the whole night out in the wilderness just to talk to his Father. Jesus is the model of one who prays relentlessly. That third one there, the middle one, is a little bit redundant, right? Jesus didn't need to become like Jesus because Jesus was Jesus. Okay, so skip that one if you will. But Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is God's revelation to us, God in the flesh. Go over to the fourth one there, serving sacrificially. How much more of a servant can you get than Jesus? The one who lived his entire life for others. To serve God as an offering of his body and his life up to God as a sacrifice. To serve you and I by dying in our place. He's the ultimate sacrificial servant. And then you go to the fifth one there, multiplying spiritually. Jesus came and he lived a life where his whole life was about preaching the good news to the world, letting people know that the kingdom of heaven is here. There is hope, there is healing, there is new life. Just believe, just put your faith in God. The scriptures are now fulfilled, the kingdom is here. And he proclaimed and he preached and he taught and he lived his life pointing to the fact that he just multiplied his faith. That's why you and I are even here, is because Jesus multiplied spiritually out to his disciples, and his disciples multiplied, and they multiplied, and they multiplied. And now, 2019, Strathroy, Ontario, Canada, other side of the globe, 2,000 years later, we're gathering here because Jesus first was a spiritual multiplier. Jesus perfectly lived out these values. His whole life was the perfect example of living out these values. And we look to him as the one. Every organization, basically, every church, every organization, whatever, you will find, maybe they've gone through the effort of writing them down, or maybe they just kind of have them subtly there, but every organization has some statement of, here's what our values are. Here's the key things we really treasure, we really value. For us, at Bethel, the key things we really treasure and value all are about Jesus. Because he's the whole reason we're here. Why would you go anywhere else or beyond anything else than Jesus? He is our Savior. He's our King. He's our Master. He's our Lord. He's our boss. He's our Creator. He's our Sustainer. He's our friend. He's our God. He is everything to us. He's the reason we gather together, why we sing, and why we have any hope, because Jesus came and died on the cross for us. So everything we value centers around Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did. And then, as followers of him, we live out his example. And so you look at those values that are up on the wall there, and Jesus perfectly lived those out. You and I, not quite so much, but we are imperfectly trying to move towards those values. We are not perfect. None of us here is perfect. None of us has this all together. None of us has this all figured out. We fumble and we bumble and we stumble our way through, but we are imperfectly moving towards these values. We are imperfectly trying to, by God's grace and by his Spirit who dwells within us, to live out these values, to grow as men and women of love and men and women of prayer and men and women who are being transformed to become like Jesus and men and women who are serving and men and women who are multiplying and living and showing and pointing to Jesus Christ. Imperfectly, yes, I know, But yet, we are moving and striving towards these values. Or if I put it another way, let me just maybe get us to think about it a different way. All of us, as followers of Jesus, are called to move. We're all on a journey. None of us are called, although we are so tempted to say, I'm good right here. That is never the posture of a follower of Jesus. I'm fine. Never. A follower of Jesus never stays where they are. We may do it imperfectly. We may fumble. We may stumble. It may be slow at points. But God, by his Spirit and as through his grace, is always calling us to move. To not stay where we are, but to take a step. And so today, like wherever you find yourself, and I know within this room, there is like the whole spectrum of some of us who are just beginning to search out, and who is this Jesus and what is God all about? And I don't even know who he is. Or it's just a story that I've heard about around Christmas and Easter, to all the way to the other side where you've been a follower of Jesus for like 5-6 decades and in between. I know this room is filled with the whole spectrum. Wherever you are at, the invitation and the opportunity here is to not stay where you're at. To take, even if it's a small step, a step to grow. To grow, to learn, to live, to become like Jesus. So let me kind of wrap all of this up. Our five values there, again, loving deeply, becoming like Jesus, praying relentlessly, serving sacrificially, multiplying spiritually. These are the threads, the values that hold all that we do together. So let me come back to this illustration here again to try and wrap this whole series that we've been in for the last 2.5 months together. There is a home that we want to get to. The home here is the meaning and purpose that you and I are made for. Okay? Every single one of us has a purpose in our lives. I'm talking big P purpose. The reason why you and I exist. The thing that satisfies our souls that we were made to do. Without this, there's like this gap, this longing, this hole that we are just longing to fulfill, but we're not there. All of us have a home purpose that we are trying to get to. And maybe in your life you don't even realize what that purpose is. At the very beginning of this series, we went to great effort to look into the scriptures and to see, here's what your purpose is and my purpose is. It's to glorify God. All of our purpose is to glorify God by being a disciple who makes disciples, by following Jesus, by entering into a relationship with God, and then by sharing that good news with others. That's the purpose for which all of us are made. Okay? That's the home base that we all long to get to. And maybe you don't even realize you long to get there, but built into your very like soul DNA is that longing to get there. To have that purpose. That's home. And so, you walk out of the barn, and there's this storm going on all around you. This storm that has set in, that's just like blinding, and you can't see up from down and left from right, and it's totally disorienting. What is the storm? What's the storm I'm talking about when you come out of the barn? The storms, there's all kinds of storms that we can go through in life. Some of them are like the hardship challenges that we go through in life, okay? The medical diagnoses that's just painful. Some of it's the loss of a loved one that is so painful, and it's these challenges. Some of it is struggles that we go through. It's maybe addictions that we have. It's maybe vices that are in our lives that it's like, I know I shouldn't do this, but I just keep finding myself bent towards it. I just keep doing it over and over and over again. I know it's not good for me, but I just keep, it's the storms of life. Some of them are the distractions in life. So busy with work and busy around the house. I'm so busy with the kids and busy with sports and busy with the extracurriculars and busy, busy, busy. Some of them are, dare I even say, like your church life? Going from meeting to meeting to meeting and thing to thing to thing and place to place to place and study to study to study. Here's the point in the storm, okay? The storms, you might hear me say storm and you think it's about like good or bad. That's not it. That might be part of it, but that's not the heart. The heart of it is the storms in your life and in my life are the things that blind me from seeing where home is. They might be bad things. They might also be good things. Good things. But it's the things that blind me from seeing, from getting to, from knowing how to get home. The things that just have me running all around, up from down, everywhere, and not getting to the purpose for which I'm made, which is to glorify God by making disciples and make disciples. There are so many storms around us. The heart of this series has been, first of all, to identify what is home as we look in the scriptures, then to see what are the storms, and now it's like, okay, so what is the path to get me from being out in the barn with the storms all around to get home? What's the path? What are the steps I need to take to get to that place? And we looked at and we zeroed in four of them. We zeroed on four steps to the path. And this is so important for all of us to really see and understand and really get that we've zeroed in on four of them here. Now, why have we zeroed in on four? Is it because there's only four things that you can do that can get you to that purpose? No. That's not the reason why. It's because we've been praying earnestly and asking God, okay, what are the things for us here uniquely as Bethel Baptist Church that you are calling us to be about that would propel us forward? God's given us many things. God's given us lots of resources. We have much to be thankful for, but the fact of the matter is they're limited. In fact, every church, our resources are limited, right? We have a limited number of people. We have a limited number of gifts. We have a limited facility, we have limited finances, we have limited things that we can do. There's a limited number of hours in the day. You can't do everything. Have you ever met somebody who tries to live like they don't have limits? What happens to them? Two things. I'll tell you what happens to them. They either burn out or blow up. Right? Somebody who tries to live without limits, they either burn out and they just get totally exhausted because they're trying to go, 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 and they run their wick dry. Or they blow up and it turns into this giant crisis around them. You know the same thing happens in churches, right? Churches that try to run like they don't have limits either burn out or blow up. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to do either of those. So what is the path? We zeroed in on four things because we recognize that we have limits. We recognize we're not the only church in town. And we're not the best church in town. We recognize that we don't have the corner on the market of everything that could be done. We can't do everything. We can't be what every one of us see on different podcasts and websites and YouTube feeds of this church and this church and this church. Who has God called us to be? With the resources he has given to us, the limits he's given, which are gifts from God, what is God calling us to be all about? And we zeroed in on four things, four steps on our path that we believe by God's grace propel us towards home. One is we gather together to worship on Sunday mornings like this. Two is we get into homes together in small groups to dig into God's word and apply it. Three is we identify our spiritual gifts and get on teams to serve. And fourth is as a prayer, a giver, or a goer, we take part in One for 51 to reach not just our community, but to reach out to the nations. This is the path that as our elders and our staff have prayed about and sought the Lord and asked, what are the things you want us to be about? We have sensed him leading us to focus in on, to zero in on. And so then, to finish off just the illustration, what's the rope here? What's the thread that goes through all of this that leads us to home? It's our values that we looked at today. It's at every step along the way, as we worship together, we're holding on to this thread of loving and praying and becoming like Jesus and serving and multiplying. And as we unite together in people's homes and small groups and get propelled towards our home, we love and pray and serve and multiply and become like Jesus. As we use our spiritual gifts and get onto teams and serve, we love and pray and become like Jesus and serve and multiply. As we launch out on 1 for 51 as prayers and givers and goers, we live out these values. The thread that links all of this together as we go along this path is our core values, which leads us to then this final question this morning. To wrap all of this up, in light of this whole picture that we have spent 8 weeks walking through the last 2.5 months, what is your step and my step now? If you call Bethel home, or if you're thinking about calling Bethel home, what does this mean for you? James says it so profoundly here in James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. We have tried very hard, I have tried very hard throughout this whole series to show you this is not just coming from some idea that like I cooked up or that our elders cooked up or our staff cooked up. This is not just some like marketing campaign or pitch. We've tried every single week to open up God's word and help you see this is what the word of God says. So then, if that is true, if what we've talked about here is coming from the word of God, what is your step? What's your step? It's going to look different, probably so different that every single one of us in this room might even have a little bit of a different step. But what does it mean for you to not just hear the word, but to realize and see, okay, this is what our church family is focusing in on. This is what we are all about. This is what it means to glorify God. This is how I am a disciple. What do I do with this now? How do you respond? There's a whole spectrum of ways, but like let me give you a few thoughts. For example, if you're here and you've been on this journey with us, and you're like, I'm just kind of exploring this whole Jesus thing. I'm just kind of re-getting back to church or re-getting back to this whole Jesus thing. Here's maybe what it means for you. It means you deciding this is home. You identifying the home that I am made for, the purpose that I am created for, the longing in my heart that I need to get right is to tie my rope onto Jesus. Maybe that's the step for you. Maybe you have been exploring and trying to learn about this whole thing that we call church and Christianity and Jesus, and today is the day where you need to say, I am going to make the commitment to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to trust him. He, if this is really true, what this guy on the stage is saying, that he died on the cross for me, that he laid down his life, that I can have forgiveness and eternal life and go to heaven and all these things, if that's really true, I want that and I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe that's your step today. Maybe that's it for you. Maybe you look at those four steps on the path. Maybe you even want to pull this card out right now or just look down. How are you doing at these four? How are you doing at them? Maybe you look at these four and you're like, you know, honestly, I'm kind of batting a solid like 1 out of 4. Okay, well, I appreciate your honesty. What's the step then in light of that for you? If that's where you're at, if you're like, you know what, of these four, really the only thing I'm doing is I'm kind of regular on like Sunday morning worshiping. Okay, so maybe the response for you from this series is to say, okay, I want to take the giant leap and get into a small group. I want to start meeting together regularly with a small group of people to study the Bible. Maybe that's the step for you. Maybe it's that you need to take the step to get onto a team and start serving the Lord using your spiritual gifts. Maybe it's a step that says, hey, I want to step out of my comfort zone and be a prayer partner for somebody on a 1-for-51 trip. I want to take the crazy step and maybe go around the world to help people see and learn about Jesus as a goer. Finances are tight, but I want to sacrificially give to reach the nations. I don't know what's the step for you. Maybe it's saying, hey, I'm doing one of these things decently well. I want to do two. Now maybe you're doing two of them. Maybe you're doing three of them. Maybe you're doing all four of them. Maybe the step isn't for you to say, hey, it's actually adding another one of these four things on. But maybe it's actually, as you think about the values there, it's zeroing in on one of those values that weave their way through all of these steps. So maybe it's like, I really struggle to love. I find it hard to love, if I'm honest. I find it hard to love God passionately. Okay, so in my small group, maybe it's not adding another thing to my plate right now at this particular season, but it's saying with all those folks in my small group, I really need and want to grow as a man who loves deeply. Would you help me? Would you hold me accountable? Would you pray for me? Would you encourage me? Would you bring this up with me? Maybe it's, I really want to grow as a spiritual multiplier. And so on the team that you already serve on, that you've just kind of been coming in and doing your duty and then going out, and that's okay. But it's like, I want to take the step to actually begin to multiply. I want to not just go in and just get my duty done, but I want to invest into others to see others raised up and other people's lives impacted. And so within that particular piece of the pie of serving the Lord, I want to grow as a spiritual multiplier. Maybe it's, I'm really struggling to know how to pray. I'm going to take the step to be a prayer partner for 1-for-51. I don't know what the step could be. I said it a couple times. It probably looks different for every single one of us. But here's the point. All of us are called to take a step. All of us. Wherever you are at, whatever it might look like for you, I am just utterly convinced, and you see it right here in James chapter 1 again, do not merely listen to the word. If you just listen and it just goes in one ear and out the other, do you know what that is? It's deceiving yourself. Do it. Put it into practice. Whatever it is right now for you that it's like, this is what is stirring upon my heart, before God, say, okay, even if it feels small, I'm going to take this little step. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen in your life as you take that step. In your family, as you take that step. In our church family, as we collectively take the step. In our community, as it ripples out from here to the very ends of the earth, even. As we answer that question, what is my step right now? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the series that you have brought us along on as a church. For the many things that you've been encouraging us with, teaching us about, and at points challenging us. God, we thank you for the journey you have each of us on. And where we are each at is different. And you know every single one of us and exactly where we find ourselves this morning and in this season of our lives. And God, we want to be not just hearers of your word, but doers. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters here and for my own heart. Oh Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to hear your voice even right now. What does it mean for me to respond? Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Show us what that response is. And oh God, give us the faith. Give us the courage. Give us the willingness to do it. God, we're looking to you. We're calling out to you. And we're expectant for what you're going to do as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.